Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Welcome, fellow law entrepreneurs, to episode 31 with my good friend, Mark Miranda of Smart Marketing. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as always. And if that name sounds familiar, Mark Miranda, it's because I've probably mentioned his name and his company dozens of times in the past, previous episodes. So I'm overjoyed to finally have him on as a guest. But before we jump into it, let me tell you what a great day it is today, fellow law entrepreneurs, as we introduce our first two show sponsors. When I first envisioned this podcast, I hoped that one day we would generate enough of a following that the show would attract sponsors, and that day has arrived. I'm ever so pleased to announce Market Circle, makers of Daylight, a fantastic suite of Macs and iOS applications that help your small business grow, and Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation, as the first sponsors of the Law Entrepreneur podcast. Now, again, if those two products and services sound familiar, that's because I've mentioned them several times in the past as well, because I am a client of theirs and have been for some time. One of the foundational rules I wanted to set down for this podcast is that any and all sponsors or affiliates will always be products that I use or have used personally, or else are made by folks I know personally to be solid citizens. What you'll never see here is an advertiser that I know nothing about or other than that they want to pay us some money to get their product out to our listeners. So that will never happen. So please let me say thank you and help me welcome Daylight by Market Circle and Spotlight Branding as the first sponsors of The Law Entrepreneur. And we'll hear more about them a little later in the show. Right now, let's turn our attention to Mark Miranda and Smart Marketing. I met Mark again, like many of my other previous guests, first at the Milo Fest conference down in Florida, now, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, renamed MacTrack Legal. And Mark, I became, full disclosure, a client of his and had been so for a long time as he helped me grow my practice and served as a mentor to me. One of the things that struck me is a lot of the things that he would say came back into my brain as we were doing these podcasts, and I think of them as Miranda mantras, and we're going to talk about a few of those today. So please welcome and say hello to my good friend, Mark Miranda of Smart Marketing. Mark Miranda, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. I'm flattered to be asked.
Well, it's long overdue, as the listeners from the show can attest. I seem to be uttering your name and repeating your, what I used to call Miranda mantras on every episode. So it only seems fair that we actually have you on the show.
Well, I'm enormously flattered for that. Thank you.
So in the spirit of full disclosure, I will indicate to the audience that I am a former client of Mark's at Smart Marketing. Had a delightful time every single moment that I spent with Mark and all of his folks. And just to head off the question, why are you no longer with Mark? It had nothing to do with Smart Marketing. It had everything to do with some personal and financial issues in my own life that caused me to separate, but not forget Smart Marketing. So I'm delighted to have you on board today for episode 31.
Well, I loved having you as a client, and I'm very pleased to be invited.
Well, tell us a little bit about Smart Marketing, what it is, how it came to be, and what you do.
Sure. It's sort of evolved over time. It's not like I sat in an ivory tower somewhere and decided that, oh, wow, lawyers, that's a great niche. I should market to them or something like that. I happen to have a client who was an insurance agent. This is very early on for me. And he wanted to market, he wanted to sell insurance policies based on estate planning. At that time, you could make the following argument very nicely, which is you're only worth half of what you think you're worth. Okay, you think you're worth $10 million. But in fact, when you die, the estate taxes are going to take $5.5 million of that, and they want it in cash, and they want it in 90 days. Or maybe it was 9 months. I can't remember. But at any rate, the answer to that was simple. You buy an insurance policy. So let's say you're going to owe, you know, $5 million in estate taxes. You buy an insurance policy on your life for $5 million. And then when you pass on, your children get the benefit of that, have $5 million to pay off the IRS, and they inherit everything that you have amassed. And so that was really good. And then they started doing what they perennially do, which is change the rules and the amounts and all of that kind of thing, and it became a little bit problematic. But the this insurance agent, who's a very good one, named Mike Kilborn in Naples, Florida, said, well, I've been invited to go to this thing for the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys out in California, and would you like to, and I'm going to market my book, which was about the IRS and taxes. And he said, would you like to share the table with you, with me? And I said, okay. It was in San Diego, so it was a hell of a trip for us, long trip. And so I said, yes, I did want to do that. And I sort of kept an eye on the crowd to see who the centers of influence were. And I ended up forming relationships with both Joe Strazzeri of Strazzeri Mancini in San Diego and Dave Zampano in upstate New York. And
were these attorneys?
Yes, both attorneys.
Okay.
And both estate planning attorneys. And, you know, I basically said to each of them, I will do your marketing and I will make you look great and I will help you get new clients and all that. And I won't charge you at all. It will be free. And here's your part of the deal is every person that I send to you as a recommendation, you tell them how great I am. Mm-hmm. And that's immodest, but that was my tactic anyway, and it worked very well. I got one estate planning attorney, then I had two, and I had an elder law attorney, then I had another estate planning attorney, and pretty soon, that was my niche, estate planning attorney. So I got to know your world as well as my own.
And so when you set out to do that, did you have a sense of what the current state of marketing and branding and advertising for attorneys were at the time?
I did not, and it turned out to be awful, which in a way was good for me because I was able to, you know, go in and hit a home run.
Well, what was your background leading into that?
Oh, I'm sorry. The first half of my life, I was a journalist, a newspaper writer.
In a specific area of the news?
No. No, well, I kind of handled the crime beat. I started out really. Now we're talking about ancient history. I was a sports writer.
Okay,
which was nice because you had a little more freedom in the way that you can express yourself.
So, what was the state of the marketing for attorneys when you started taking on these clients, and more importantly, how has that changed over the course of time?
Right. It was awful. And it's pretty much, I used to say that when I would be giving speeches, I would, or presentations, I would say the good news is that attorneys have been dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century of marketing. The bad news is it's the 21st.
Again, a Mark Miranda mantra.
Yes, indeed.
Tell us, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is that, first of all, attorneys, you know, if you go back 50 years, they weren't allowed to market at all.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go back that far.
Well, I was going to say 1980.
Yeah, okay.
How long ago is that now? 46 years or something? It's that was when they First Amendment challenge to, I can't remember the court decision, I think it was Sullivan, said that attorneys had a First Amendment right to advertise. Yeah.
Yeah. But it took a long time after that decision for the legal profession to come around to, you know, come to grips with that, I think.
And there's many who still have.
Absolutely.
Okay. They just, it's, you know, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get a law degree, and from then on, everybody will come and see me and pay me. And that's a terrible assumption, of course, unless you're a doctor.
Right, right. And I think that there's, you still have that, if that feeling amongst the legal community that somehow it's unseemly for an attorney to market their services or to tout their own, the benefits of employing them as.
I have lots of clients and former clients and would-be clients and all that kind of stuff who are very uncomfortable with that proposition, with promoting themselves, you know.
And do you see that now with your clients starting to shift, starting to change?
Well, the internet has certainly made a big difference. And that's when I say they've been dragged into the 21st century, I would say that you can't find anymore, although you used to be able to find attorneys without a website who just didn't have one.
Right.
And that's very rare today.
But not all of them are optimized for attracting new clients by any means.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. You know, you know, the idea that you can promote an attorney's services by taking a picture of him in front of a row of law books held sway for a lot of time, too. You know, the problem is the difference between the attorney and his audience a lot of time, his or her, I'll use his for convenience sake. And that is that, you know, he wants to give a highly technical legal presentation, let's say. Why does he want to do that? Because that's the ground he's comfortable on. He knows a lot about the law, and you, the customer, doesn't know that. And so they've ignored a very basic principle of marketing, and that is more people will hire you because they like you than will hire you because they think you're a legal expert. And that's very hard for attorneys to accept because they based their whole lives on being a legal expert. They spent a lot of money. They went to a lot of years of school. And they want to be judged on that. And the public doesn't judge them on that. The public will judge them on whether or not they came from Indiana and were like their Uncle Harry.
Yeah, one of my favorite Miranda mantras was that the statement that generally the public can't tell one good attorney from another.
Absolutely true. They couldn't tell the difference between an A-plus attorney and a C-plus attorney to save their lives most of the time. But they can tell who they like and trust, and they all consider themselves qualified to do that.
And I think that's also being exacerbated now by the do-it-yourself mentality that a lot of legal customers, legal clients bring to the table, with the feeling that, you know, the stuff that you do as an attorney isn't all that complicated. And if I do enough research on sites like Nolo and LegalZoom and those kinds of things, I probably can figure this out myself. So why do I have to pay you all the money?
Right, right. And most attorneys, it comes down to a lot of times use of their time, too. You know, I've had attorneys say to me, all this stuff that you're going to do for me, why couldn't I do that for myself? And I say, you can. That's fine. Do you want to?
Yeah, or are you going to?
Are you going to is a secondary question, yes. It has to do with the big issue of implementation, the big I, you know. But, yeah, that's, I guess we could, you know, being reasonably bright people, could do most things if we put our mind to it over time. You know, the famous story, I'm sure you know it, given your where you live, Neil, of the Washington Post decided to pull a gag. And they had Joshua Bell, one of the best violinists in the world, top three probably, go down into the Washington Metro and play for commuters. And the result was that I think 87 people walked by, and seven stopped to listen, and three threw some change in his violin case. This guy's the greatest in the world. But the commuters who were passing by were not qualified to recognize and appreciate that skill.
Right. I think the ending of that story was that a couple nights later, he appeared at the Kennedy Center at $275 a ticket.
That's correct. That's the kicker. Yeah. Yes. So, likewise, your potential clients or, you know, attorneys' potential clients often are in no position to judge the skill with which that attorney can do things. And so when an attorney in an effort to do marketing says, I know what I'll do, I'll get an LLM. And that will distinguish me from all the other attorneys around. The public has no idea what an LLM is or what it does or what kind of skill or if you're any good at it or anything like that.
Well, that leads us to another mantra that I quote often of yours, that if you really want to distinguish yourself, if you really want to set yourself apart from other attorneys in your area, start by answering the phone.
So true.
So, explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, you know, do what the average guy in a hardware store does. He picks up the phone, right, to deal with his clients. What's the number one complaint against attorneys nationwide?
I never get to speak to my attorney.
Right. Don't return phone calls. I can't speak to them, et cetera. You know, so, you know, if you've got so much business that you can't talk to anyone on the phone, good for you. You don't have to do anything. You know, but if you want to distinguish yourself from the other attorneys who do the same thing, then customer service is really something that means something. I know a lot of attorneys who seem to pride themselves in the fact that you can't get hold of them or to make it appear that way. They make it deliberately difficult, and I think that's counterproductive and silly. So, you know, recognizing the basics of customer service that anybody would know in any office in the United States is not a lawyer's office. Just understanding that it's important to answer the phone and answer messages and, you know, just be nice.
Then, return phone calls.
Yeah, return phone calls. Have a convenient conference room that's, you know, decorated in the right way and all that kind of thing. I mean, if you're an elder law attorney, you probably don't want to have steps that no elderly person can get up. You probably don't want to have a doorknob that's difficult to turn. You know, I mean, simple.
Or that heavy glass door.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, when you talk about answering your phone, just to get down to the nitty gritty, you're not advocating that the attorney themselves have to always answer the phone, but that somebody has to answer the phone.
Yeah, and you need to be courteous about it. And, you know, 3/4 of the time when you call an attorney's office,
it goes straight to voicemail.
Goes straight to voicemail, exactly. And what you get, you know, if you're really, really, really lucky, you get somebody who answers the phone and says, law offices, you don't know what to say to that. But if you're not lucky, what you get is a phone tree that says, you know, you've reached such and such law firm. If you know your party's extension, you can dial it now. If you don't know, if you want a company directory, please enter the name of the person you're trying to call. And you're thinking, first name or last name? What do I type in here? That kind of thing. Or she says, if not, you can stay on the line and receptionist will answer your call. And so you think, oh, good, thank God, I'll stay on the line. So you wait for 20 minutes, and finally somebody picks up the phone and says, law offices, and you say, I'd like to speak to Attorney Jones. And the woman says, he's not available right now. Would you like his voicemail? Right. Or just punch you straight into the voicemail. And so you end up leaving a lot of voicemails. I usually tell my attorneys, if you wanted to invent a machine to deliberately anger and upset every single person who called your office, you couldn't do better than one of those phone trees.
Well, that leads me into the idea that I know that you have a presentation that you do frequently around the country titled Four Keys to Growing Your Practice.
Yes.
I won't expect you to do the whole presentation, but kind of summarize, what are those four keys? And
I can do that. Number one is building your referral network. And there are techniques to do that. One of my favorites is, let's say you're an elder law attorney and you give a 1 or 1.5 day, usually 1.5 day presentation. You get it approved for continuing education credits. And then you mail out an invitation to the professionals in your area and says, you know, come to this presentation by Neil Tyra and you'll get 8 CE credits for yourself.
Yeah.
And then everybody who comes to that, you can build a relationship with those people. They sign in and you know who they are. Whenever they have a referral now on an elder law, who are they going to send it to? They're going to send it to the guy who taught it to them and is an expert on it, or he wouldn't be giving these kind of presentations. And you can just, even if it's not anything that sophisticated, you can just take your attendance list and say, give it to your secretary and say, make, you know, lunch appointments for me with all these people.
Start building those relationships, because the key is in the relationships that flow from that kind of event.
Totally. And face-to-face is the best way to create that kind of relationship. It really is.
Somebody said to me the other day that knee-to-knee was the best approach. Sitting across from the other person, I thought that was kind of an interesting...
That is an interesting configuration. I hadn't heard that before, but it's true. You know, you could say the best, you know, one of the good things is if they read about you on your website or any other place. And then it's better if there's a picture of you with that thing. And then it's better than that if there's a video. But there's no question that in this context, face-to-face is the best way.
So starting off with building your referral network, that's a good start. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that.
That's correct. And it's if you can build a solid, good referral network, it'll take the pressure off your other kinds of marketing, because there won't be this panic necessity to get new clients, because they'll be feeding you those clients on a steady basis. I mean, if you built up a network of 100 people and, you know, 10 of them sent you one case a year, that'd be a big boost to your revenue.
Absolutely. One of our previous guests, David Sparks out of California, referred to his referral network as the Friends of David.
Mm.
And he had that boiled down. He had a large group that he boiled down to about 20 or 25.
Yeah.
And that's who he really focused 80% of his time and energy on referral marketing.
That's a great formula. Referral marketing is really the best kind of marketing there is, because the business comes to you with a high degree of credibility because you've been referred by some expert that the person trusts. And, you know, it's nice, isn't it, to be asked to have somebody referred to you rather than you making the first move and having to go out there. So
sure.
We want as much of that business as possible.
What's our second pillar?
Okay. Second pillar is, let's talk about direct marketing to the public. And my preferred method, as you well know, Neil, because I don't think you liked it at all. I don't know.
That's not true. I did like it.
Did you seminars?
Yes.
Did you like seminars? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's my preferred method because I believe in the face-to-face priority. And I believe that this is your possibility, your potential to make members of the public like you. And you don't have to do seminars where you convince them of your legal expertise, but it's a great way to meet potential clients. If they're not interested in estate planning and they've been mailed an invitation to an estate planning seminar, why else would they be there? So we know they're, you know, potential clients. They've self-sorted themselves into this thing of potential clients. So this is your chance to meet them, convey your knowledge, convey your charm, whatever it is, and make appointments for them to come into the office. Now, there's a second thing on top of that, an ancillary thing, which is your ability to close them as clients once they come in to the office. But, you know, you're halfway there now. They know who you are and they can come in.
Let me take a couple of minutes here, Law Entrepreneurs, to say thank you to today's sponsors, Daylight by Market Circle and Spotlight Branding. I've been a Daylight user since I first opened my solo practice, and Daylight was only on version 3. I believe they're now on version 6. I knew at the time that I went solo that I was going to run my business exclusively on my Mac because I am first and foremost an Apple fanboy. Daylight was my choice as a generalized customer relations management or CRM tool, but it's much more than that for me and my practice. It really is my practice management software platform. With Daylight, I'm able to track all of my active projects or cases, link all the contacts associated with those cases and define their roles, track phone conversations and email concerning those matters, create, track, and assign tasks and appointments associated with either the individuals or the cases themselves, and a whole host of other actions. When I started Daylight, it ran on my desktop Mac and synced with my laptop. But now Market Circle offers the Daylight application not just for all Macs, be they desktop or laptop, but for all iOS devices, including your iPhone and iPad. And each one syncs with each other via a wireless connection or through Daylight's cloud option. So I literally have my entire law practice management platform with me at all times, available to me on all of my Apple devices, and it integrates with the entire Apple, Mac, iPhone infrastructure. So I could not run my practice without Daylight, and I wholeheartedly endorse them if you are looking to gain control over your practice and use Apple products as your hardware platform of choice. But what good is that if you can't attract clients to your law firm? Well, that's where my friends at Spotlight Branding have become invaluable. Spotlight Branding helps you to build your internet foundation by focusing on the five pillars of your internet presence, namely website design and content, your electronic or e-newsletter, ongoing social media management, your monthly blog, its generation and dissemination, and video production and incorporation into your website. You might remember that Mark Sinaglia, founding partner of Spotlight Branding, was on episode 18 of The Law Entrepreneur. I met Mark at the AVO conference and became enamored with both him and his product right away, and shortly thereafter became a full client of Spotlight Branding's. By allowing Spotlight Branding to handle my presence on the internet, I'm able to devote my time to actually managing my practice and delivering high-quality legal services. Spotlight Branding works exclusively with lawyers and law firms and knows specifically how to make your practice shine such that your bottom line performance improves across the board. What I'm most impressed with is how easy it is to work with the folks at Spotlight Branding and how the products that they generate are of such high quality and how the output looks and feels and sounds like my own and presents the exact image that I am trying to convey to potential clients. This is of tremendous value to me in terms of my peace of mind and individual time management. So if you want to gain control of your internet foundation, get with Spotlight Branding for all of your online internet needs. If you want more information on either Daylight or Spotlight branding, go to our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to our resources page. That's a new page that we are featuring. And there you will find a link to each of these companies' own websites, and you can see for yourself what they have to offer and how they can benefit your practice. Daylight and Spotlight branding, two tools literally I could not do my job without, and I'm thrilled to have them as sponsors of this show. Well, another one of the things that you used to say all the time that really has stuck with me, when you would say that attorneys come to you and say they need to get more clients, they have a client problem, and upon further inspection, you would say, well, you don't really have a client problem, you have a prospect problem. You have a lack of prospects.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting kind of twist on the analysis to say that I'm not having difficulty closing and retaining clients. I just don't have a big enough funnel to collect prospects into the process.
Right. It's remarkable sometimes how blind attorneys can be to the things they know and are telling you but are not really listening to. I'll give you an example. I had an attorney who said to me, Mark, you know what I hate? And I say, what? He said, I hate it when a new client comes in the door and the first thing they say to me is, what's all this going to cost? And I said, wow, yeah, that's really irritating. Guess what the first question attorneys ask me is? It's what you have to do there is accept that is normal human nature to fear the cost and anticipate the cost and measure the cost and all that kind of stuff and stop trying to battle it, accept it and find a good answer for it.
Now, in the terms of direct marketing, one of the things that we've kind of learned here over the 30 episodes of The Law Entrepreneur is,
congratulations.
Thank you, is that I would kind of expand that to suggest that direct marketing not only includes seminars, your preferred delivery vehicle, but also any type of public speaking, whether it be directly speaking at a Kiwanis event or hosting a luncheon in your conference room, anything to get you in front of the public so that you're presenting information, giving value, and that's the key thing, giving value to people who either can become directly a client or can refer future clients to you.
That's absolutely right. That kind of exposure is priceless. It also includes stuff like, you put an ad in the local symphony magazine. I mean, you're marketing directly to the public there, not to a referral source.
Right. All right, what's our third pillar, Mark?
A third pillar, I think, is we've discussed seminars, right? And we should discuss, let me think here for a minute. I can call up the presentation. But let's talk about branding and image, if you don't mind,
sure,
for a moment. And that is that it's very frustrating for attorneys because it's expensive and it has no measurable return on investment. So let me say what I mean by that. And that is, if we're talking about seminars, we can measure everything. We can say, okay, we spent this much money on direct mail promoting the seminar, and this many people attended, and this many made appointments, and this many came into the office, and this many went forward with plans, and the result was this many dollars, right? All measurable, right? And we can also respond to those measurements. Like, if not enough people show up at the seminar, there was something wrong with the marketing for the seminar, and we've got to change that, tweak it. If enough people showed up at the seminar and not enough made appointments, then there was something wrong with the presentation at the seminar, and we've got to tweak that. If enough people made appointments and came to your office and not enough became clients, then there's something wrong in the client meeting, and we've got to change that. So it's all very measurable. Now, if I talk about, you know, let's put together a brochure about your services. Okay. No one is ever going to say to you, I hired you because you had this snazzy brochure.
Correct.
I hired you because you have this beautiful business card. Nobody's going to say that, okay? Even if that was the reason they did sign with you, they're not going to admit to that. They're going to make up some other reason, okay? So what that means is you never know, was that ad in the symphony program, was that money well spent or not well spent? So I sort of divide the ads and that kind of outreach into two categories, one being direct response ad, and the other being the image ad. So the one that goes in the program is probably an image ad. It says, I'm a distinguished lawyer, and you should come to my law firm. It's really great, okay? Whereas the direct mail kind of solicitation to come to a seminar, that's like, you know, call me and get a copy of this brochure, call me and register for this seminar, whatever. So it's kind of two different levels there. I compare it a bit to the automobile industry, right? You've got the manufacturer's ads, and that's the one that shows the Chevy driving through the countryside with the husband and wife, and it's beautiful and it's fast, and it's the photography and video is fantastic. And then you have the other kind, which is at the dealership level, what the guy's doing is putting ads in the local newspaper or putting an ad on TV that shows him pounding on the hood and saying, sale, 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 you got to come in here.
Now, has your thinking in terms of branding and image creation, has that changed any with the proliferation of online resources and advertising vehicles such as Facebook and others?
Yeah, sure, it has. It's evolved. I mean, it's. I think it's the first place that a lot of people look. You know, in my heyday, long time ago, every attorney had a big ad in the Yellow Pages.
Absolutely,
yeah. A lot of competition for the territory there and everything. You know, and I'd say that now it's the internet. It's everybody has a website.
But not as we said, not everybody's looks that good or functions as well as it should, because the attorneys themselves are not web developers, and so they've got to entrust that responsibility to somebody else most often. So it's an important decision to make, because it's the first place that the public formulates an opinion about you. And as you said, they're more likely to formulate that opinion based on whether they like what they see, they like what they hear, they feel comfortable, they think they can work with you, as opposed to putting your resume on the front page of your of your website.
Yeah, which a lot of people still do, you know, and that's, it's a pretty simple process, is put yourself in the place of the person who's seeking you.
Now, I will note that on your own website, we'll get into this in a couple minutes here at the end. One of the things that attracted me when I became a client, I'll just backtrack here for a second. Victor Medina, who's been on the show twice now, as most of the listeners know, runs a program down in Florida called Milo Fest. It's recently changed its name to MacTrack Legal, and I'm going to it in a couple of weeks in October. You were at his conference.
Yes.
And a number of times. And the first couple of times I heard you, frankly, I wasn't ready to hear what you had to say.
Right.
Wasn't quite listening, and what right. you said went in one ear and out the other. The one year, though, for a number of different reasons, I was receptive to what you had to say. And I went upstairs. I recall this distinctly. I went upstairs, logged onto your website, mm-hmm. where I found something fairly new at the time, a plethora of videos.
Yeah.
And I watched every single video that night. Yeah. That was on your website. And I came down the next morning and walked up to you and said, I'd like to become a client.
Yeah.
So you were really ahead of the time, I think, in terms of the use of video on on your website. And as I look at your current website, you're still using video.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about why that is the case and what you've learned from that.
Well, first of all, testimonials themselves have enormous credibility, or people wouldn't make them. It's just like, you know, somebody saying, I lost 50 pounds and here's my old picture to prove it, kind of thing. Well, that has big credibility, you know. Now, there are strict federal rules about that, but there's no question that the way that you venture out into the world of marketing a lot of times is going to be based on the fact that somebody else did it that way and worked with you and got a good result. So, you know, you'll see a lot of stuff on the internet and elsewhere that says that kind of thing. But I thought that video was much more impactful than just words. And if you look at your typical testimonial, it says, oh, this guy's great, DL, Dallas.
Right.
And so who the hell gives that any credibility? I don't. You know, most of the time when I see those, I think they're all phony.
Sure.
So I thought that a good way to get around that would be to film the testimonials and ask the same questions of all the different attorneys and so on. And also to make the video more credible, beside each video, I put that person's email, contact info, phone number, and that kind of stuff. And so I was essentially saying to people, hey, don't believe Victor? Call him, cross-examine him. Ask them all the tough questions. And I was lucky enough to have clients who were willing to do that. And, well, of course, there was some publicity for them, too.
Sure. Yeah. But I think it was a win-win for everybody. And I just think your use of video, both on your website and on your clients' websites, was ahead of the curve and still remains so. I think that's
Thank you. Thank you. Really, very good.
Compliment. I'm going to throw a curveball here at you, Mark, as we start to wrap up.
Go ahead. I can hit the curve.
I know that from our association that you're an avid reader and that you advocate books for your clients to help promote their or increase their awareness and intelligence in
sure.
a variety of areas. We're gonna be starting the Law Entrepreneur Library here shortly, and I'd like to ask what's your current book of choice that you might recommend for attorneys to help them start and grow their solo practice? What would come to mind?
I would say this. There are two that I would really recommend, but not necessarily the latest thing. You know, if you ask me what books are out there, you know, being talked about currently, I'll give you a different answer. But my two favorites are, number one, a book called Influence by an author named Robert Cialdini, Cialdini.
Yep.
Okay. And that is, let me warn your listeners, that is not so much a marketing book as a psychology book.
Yep.
And let me give you an example of the kind of thing that, you know, he talks about in that book. And it would be, you know, if you walk down the street and you see one guy with his head tilted back looking up straight at the sky, you might be interested or you might not. Basically, you're more likely than anything to just walk around him. Okay. But if you see five or six people all standing together in a group and looking up at the sky, then you're going to stop and look too. What the hell are they all looking at? And that's a sort of a natural piece of psychology, rudimentary psychology, that explains a lot of things in marketing. If you know one person hired Mark Miranda and that one person's doing good, you might or might not pay attention to it. But if you know 10 who are, then that's going to make a difference to you.
I think the subtitle to his book is the Power of Persuasion.
That is correct.
Yeah. I do remember reading that.
Right. And so that little incident that I just described to you of the people looking up in the sky is called social proof. And social proof simply means if a bunch of people are doing something, then that reassures people and they're more likely to do it. So that should inform your marketing in terms of your brochures or what you say at seminars and this kind of thing, you know, is very persuasive. It's simple. We're persuaded by other people doing the thing that we want to do. And usually the first thing that happens is that people say, well, this is working for Joe. I'll imitate it. I'll do the same. So knowing, you know, it's the same thing at work in my business, you know, well, a bunch of these respected attorneys whom I know work with Mark Miranda. That seems to be the safe choice. I'll do that too.
Yeah, I would say that you, for social influence and validation, that you also want to make sure that the people who are following you are in similar positions as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if 10 people who don't have a practice anything like yours are following this one path, then you don't want to follow that path because it's not aligned with who you are, what you are, where mm-hmm. you're going. So you want to make sure that the 10 people that are looking up in the sky are looking up, you know, at the same thing you're looking up at.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that works the same thing for negative, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, if for some reason, you know, 10 of your clients drop you and go out and say bad things, then your prospective client's saying, well, everybody's dropping him.
So Robert Cialdini's book, Influence, is a good one. What's your other one?
My other one is by a guy named Harry Beckwith, Beckwith. And he has written several, but the one that I particularly like a lot is called What Clients Love. And your listeners would probably enjoy also his one on Selling the Invisible. And legal services have that disadvantage, is that in general they're invisible or they're a stack of paper.
It's not a tangible product that you can put your hands on.
That's right. And that's a big difference. And a lot of people don't realize that. But a tangible product, you can taste it, you can touch it, you can take it for a test drive, you can return it if you don't like it. Yeah. Whereas invisible products like legal services, it lacks that reassurance. So Selling the Invisible is a good book by Harry Beckwith.
All right. So we will add those to the Law Entrepreneur Library. Mark, let me ask you, how can our listeners get a hold of you? What's the best way for them to reach you, see what you have to offer, and
sure.
and perhaps engage you further?
Thank you. Because it's you, Neil, I will give your listeners my cell phone number so they can get hold of me anytime.
Oh, that's...
And that is 239-919-0713. And that phone, probably like most of you in this day and age, is my constant companion. So sure. They can reach me anytime or day or anything like that. They don't have to observe strict business hours. If they want to talk in the evening, I'm certainly willing to talk.
I will point out that you are in Naples, Florida, though. So Just keep the time zone.
If you're calling from California, please don't do it at 2 a.m.
Right. And how about a website for smart marketing?
It's www.smartmarketingnow.com. And sometimes people forget and leave off the now and they end up somewhere else. So that's my website. Lots to explore. Tons of free advice. Videos, I think there's 14 of me giving a course on marketing, and I, you know, recorded it, so they're on there. And then there are, of course, the videos we discussed, videos of my clients talking about their experience.
Yeah, so for our listeners, I would say that you really owe it to yourself to just go visit Mark's site, and you'll see as you said, all these nuggets of value that Mark offers for free.
I do give it away for free, and I think I've told you the amusing thing. When I'm giving a presentation at another group or something like that, and I point this out, people say to me, why are you willing to give all this stuff away for free? And I usually, when I'm being flip and fun, say, I don't mind giving it all away for free because you're not going to do it.
Right. So. Exactly. Well, Mark, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with me today. It's a thrill for me to have you on. I'd love to have you back again, because literally we could sit here and yak all day.
And
if we did it in the evening, with a glass of scotch before us, it might end up being a couple of hours. So
then you'll get the real secrets
to the kingdom. Okay. All right. Thanks again, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. And thank you for any of your listeners that took the time and trouble to listen in.
This episode was proudly brought to you by our new sponsors, Daylight by Market Circle, and Spotlight Branding. If you need software to run your practice on your Mac and iOS devices, there is none better, in my opinion, than Daylight. And if you want professionals to develop and maintain your internet presence, freeing you up to do other important work, you can do no better than the folks at Spotlight Branding. I'm happy to have both companies as sponsors of this podcast, but more importantly, I'm very happy to use their products and will continue to do so for a long time to come. So thank you again to our friends at Market Circle, producers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding.